Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time on this Lord's Day. Today we're celebrating Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to all of those of you that's moms or grandmas or great-grandmas. God's richest blessing be upon each one of you today. And the message we're going to look at today, I trust, will be an encouragement to you and a challenge to each one of us as a family person as well. You've tuned me in either by the way of WDLP at 93.1 Belding at 7 o'clock. And we're streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. You tuned me in by the way of Ionia at I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock, and we also now the broadcast is being heard over in the Lowell area, Ada area, and it's at 100.3 FM. And those of you that joined us by 103.FM, I welcome you to the broadcast as well. Some of you tuned in by the way of Greenville, WGOM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we are now streaming both broadcasts from Ionia and from Greenville by the way of the web. Some of you tuned in by the way of Ears Radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you that have tuned in that way. Those of you that's listening by the way of my website is PastorKenHarger.com. You go to Messages from the Lighthouse, bring your mouse up on the thing, Messages from the Lighthouse, and it'll open up underneath that Current Media. And then you can click on Current Media, and it takes you right to the broadcast this morning and all of the ones for the last part of April and the first part of May. If you want to listen to something earlier than that, well, then you can just click on Past Media as well. Whatever way you joined us, I'm just glad that we're coming together and being able to share this broadcast. I'm coming to you on a Tuesday evening. I thought I wanted to try a evening time of setting over here to like at the Long Lake today in the lighthouse, and it's about 6:30, quarter to seven, and the water is just glistening because the sun is shining on it, and it's beautiful looking. There's a few people got the docks in already. I haven't got my dock in yet, but some of my neighbors do, and it'll be the time to get it in here pretty soon. But whatever way you tuned us in, I'm so glad you're a part of joining me here at the Lighthouse. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial costs of the broadcast. So a big thank you to Bill and Judy Hammond. They're from the Belding area. To Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area. To Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband Spence. That was his nickname, and she's from Orleans, Michigan. And Gay London in memory and honor of her husband Dave, and she's from Greenville, Michigan. And Marie Rivard in memory and honor of her husband Fran, and she's from Dayton, Tennessee. I appreciate all those that help keep the broadcast on the air, and I'm just so pleased for my financial supporters. I'd like to give an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church. At Shiloh, the services begin Saturday evening, 6:30. Sunday morning, 9 o'clock. Contemporary service follows at 10:45. And at our Greenville campus now, it's located at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Delray Street. And we have 11 o'clock morning service there on Sunday. And you're welcome to attend any one of these services that you so desire. Well, I think that takes care of the things I need to announce. And now I just get down to the business at hand. What a beautiful thing it is to be able to celebrate Mother's Day. What a privilege each one of us have, and a privilege of our moms. You know, the longer I live, and I'm 84 now, and the longer I live, I believe that moms make a tremendous, tremendous deep road into each one of our lives. I've shared so many times at funerals, and I shared the idea that in all my years, I've been ministering for 60 years now, and in all the years that I minister, I would go into hospitals or nursing home. I've been with a lot of people when they've died. And, you know, I've heard them, they'd be laying in their bed in a fetal position, so to speak. And, you know, I've heard many times them cry out, "Mom, Mom." I say, you know what? That's quite a privilege. can I just say this? And it's not in any way being mean about it. You know, in my 60 years, I've never heard anybody cry out, Dad, Dad. It's always Mom, Mom. I miss my mom a lot. And as we share this message on Mother's Day, I'm going to share the message and give some similarities between building a house and building a home. And I'm trusting those of you that's listening this morning, you don't think of your place as a house, but you think of as a home. Got a song that we're going to listen to. There's not a big lead in. There's not any lead in into this song. And it says, where there is love, there is home. This is the one that KN does for us that they don't have any music. They're the music themselves. And so I wanted to give you that warning as we start to hear this song. And you know what? I love the title of the song, Where There Is Love in the Home. And that's something that is very special and something that's a big part of our individual lives when we think we've had the privilege to have some love in the home. My thing doesn't want to take off, but there it just did. And so we'll listen to the song. I'll be right back in just a few moments. God bless you. I love that. I love that, folks. When there's love at home, and that love is reaching out to each one of the family members. Now, I realize, as you realize this morning, there's not always love at home. There's many homes across our land today, and probably some under the listening of my voice, that it's not been a love at home thing. But that is so blessed when that's the way it is. that there's love at home. And we're going to deal with that in just a few moments as we talk about the idea of building this home and why we need some things in there to help us so that the love can survive, so that the love can do its job that it needs to do. And sometimes, you know, that love is seen in many different ways. And we'll talk about some of that as we go through our service today. But right now, I want to pray for our listening audience. I want to ask the Lord's special blessing to be upon each mom that has tuned me in this morning, that God would just bless her in a very special way. That's why I want to start. So let's bow together for a moment. Dear Father, on this Mother's Day, we come to you. And I want to pray for every mother that has tuned the broadcast in today. I want to ask that your special blessing would be upon them if you're a young mama or if they are a great grandma. That your blessing would be upon them in a very special way. Would you minister to them in a special way? Would you give them some encouragement today to know that it's a beautiful thing when you think of motherhood, and the privilege it is to say, these are my children. And you know, today, Father, we just want to rise up and call our moms blessed, as you tell us in the book of Proverbs. We just so glad for my mom. I'm so glad for everybody's mom that is listening in today. Some may be gone, as my mom is gone, and yet I got so many good memories of the times that we shared together. So, Father, as we come to you now, I want to pray for the rest of the listening audience. I want to pray for the dads, the children, the grandpas. I just ask, our Father, your special blessing would be upon our listening audience. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know what this last week has brought into their life. In a week, things can change so much. So I pray for those that may be going through a time of discouragement. I pray for those that may be going through some physical things that's not been very pleasant week. Some that's gone through the loss of a loved one as they laid one of their loved ones to rest. I ask, our Father, your special blessing to be upon them in a very special way through this week and minister to them and meet their need according to your will. Now, Father, we're going to talk about that beautiful thing of motherhood. We're going to talk about the home. I love the way that song started out, Father. Be it ever so humble, there's no place like home. And Father, even your Son, the Lord Jesus, when he wanted to tell us what it was like for heaven, he reminds us that there's a home in heaven that's got lots of rooms, and there's room for everyone, and that he's gone to prepare a place for us. And he's going to come back and receive us unto himself. And I love it, Father, when your Son said that where he is, there we may be also. Give us that hope. Give us that to hang on to as we talk about the reality of life today. I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You know, I've probably done this before in my life, but I was thinking about Mother's Day, and I was thinking about the idea of a similarity between building a house and building a home. They're making an addition on a house right across the street from us in my neighborhood, and they're adding on a three-stall garage and a couple of bedrooms, and I've watched the work as it's went along, and it's been a slow process, but we've had a lot of rain, and that has caused a lot of difficulty. So what I wanted to do, I just decided I'd look it up and see what it says about the history of Mother's Day. The modern holiday of Mother's Day was first celebrated in 1908, and Anna Jarvis held a memorial time for her mother at St. Andrew's Methodist Church in Garfton, West Virginia. The Methodist Church now holds the International Mother's Day Shrine. Her campaign to make Mother's Day recognized as a holiday in the United States began in 1905, the year her mother died. Her mother's name was Anna Reeves Jarvis. and Anna died, and been a and before Anna died, she had been a peace activator who cared for the wounded soldiers on both sides of the American Civil War. And she was a one of her. She wanted to create Mother's Day clubs to address public health issues, is what her mom did. And she wanted to honor her mother by continuing the work she started and set aside a day to honor all mothers, because she believed mothers is the person who has done for each one of us in the world so many beautiful things. In 1908, the United States Congress rejected the proposal to make Mother's Day an official holiday. 1908! Joking, they also said they'd have to proclaim a Mother-in-Law's Day. That sounds like political things, doesn't it? However, owing to the effort of Anna Jarvis, in 1911, the United States observed a holiday with some of them officially recognizing Mother's Day as a local holiday. The first being West Virginia, the home of Jarvis, and then it was in 1914. Now, it took that long, folks. 1914, Woodrow Wilson signed a proclamation designing Mother's Day held on the second Sunday in May as a national holiday to honor all mothers. Well, they finally got around to do it, and that's something very special that they did, and I'm glad they did, because I love celebrating Mother's Day. You know, when I think about the history, that's only back to 1905, and finally was recognized in 1914, but man, that took 9 years. So I think that the political world moved quite slowly back there then as well. You know, then I thought to myself, you know, I want us to think about the Bible history for our parents. And the Bible history of parents comes from the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments. Listen to what it says. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is given to you. That's in Exodus chapter 20. It was the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments. And it was said to honor your father and mother. And then it was repeated in Deuteronomy 5:16. Listen to how it goes there. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. I believe it's a beautiful thing to realize that God's trying to teach us the history of parenting carries with it a commandment, but it also carries with it a blessing. A mother's influence, a kind of encouraging mother, has a tremendous effect upon her children's life. But I also believe, even if it's not a good mom, she has a tremendous respect. She needs a tremendous respect. I love what the Bible's saying. Honor your father and mother. He didn't say if they're a good father and mother, honor them. No, he's just saying honor your father and your mother. And I believe he's reminding us that that's just a good thing to do for our own benefit, that our lives might go forward in a blessed way here on planet Earth. By the way, can I share my own personal thought? My own personal thought is that even after our moms are gone, when death has taken them away, that you and I ought to still honor the role of mom. And I believe that's what we're supposed to do, not just because she's a good mom, but honor the role of mom. It's the first commandment with promise. I love the way it's given in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It's the fifth commandment, but it's the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy life on planet Earth. I believe that's what God is reminding us today. It's a beautiful thing to pay honor and respect to our mothers. And I trust everybody under the hearing of my voice. If your mom is like my mom, she's gone, then to take some time today just to reflect upon the fact of the love that you're missing, of that special person that you call mom, and reflect upon her, some of the things that she means to you. When I do a funeral service, when I use the word mom, I always say this thought, folks, because it's true. I say, you know, I mentioned the word mother or mom or ma. You know, every time I mention that word, I get a picture of that special lady in my life that was my mama. And I'm here to tell you, folks, that's a beautiful thing. And it's the way it should be. It should be that there's honor and respect to her, even though she's been gone all of these years. I still want to hold her at high reverence. So let's talk about the home now. The reason I want to do the home is because of the fact that the idea of the home is given to us when Jesus said that, in my Father's house there's many rooms. And I had thought of the idea of rooms. Then I was thinking of a similarity, as because they're building a house across the, and adding on to a house across the world, they're adding on a lot bigger than the house already was. And, you know, I've watched the project as I watched as they poured the walls and so on. And it's been a lot of work just to get it as far as it is. And it's going to start showing up now as they begin to build above the ground. But you know what, folks? We need to realize that one of the most blessed things there is as we celebrate Mother's Day and think about the similarity between building a house and building a home is that any house that is built, it needs to be built upon a solid foundation. I love the Lord Jesus for many reasons, but I love his storytelling. One day he told us, and we've heard this story before from me, but a wise man builds his house on a rock. And then when the storms come, the house will stand because it's built on a solid foundation. The foolish man builds his house on the sand. And when the storms come, the house falls. And great is the destruction of that house. The foundation is so vital to the house, even though we don't get to see it. The foundation is so vital. And I'm going to start with the idea that one of the things that I believe the foundation is all about is trust. Trust. Trust in the foundation upon Jesus. Jesus is called the solid rock. I love what the Apostle Paul shared with a young man by the name of Timothy in the book of Timothy that bears his name, chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Listen to what he said, and I like it before Mother's Day. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, Timothy. I pray for you night and day, greatly desire to see you, being mindful of the tears that was shed when we separated from one another, that I might be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. Timothy, you got genuine faith. But Timothy, I want you to know this. That faith first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois. And then that faith was founded in your mother, Eunice. And Timothy, I am persuaded it is in you also. It was not that Paul was saying that, speaking to Timothy and telling him that it's just been passed down from grandma to mama to you. No, he wasn't saying that. He's saying the foundation of the faith that Timothy had in his day and age started with his grandmother's life. You know, started with his mother's life. And Paul was sure that that same foundation was in Timothy's life. I've always liked this thought. Trust is more caught than taught. Can I say that again? Trust is more caught than taught. There's some things that I believe are taught in the Word of God. But there's some things that I think are caught. And you've got some things from your mama that you caught. And that's special. Think of it this way. Timothy watched his grandmother. He watched his mom live their life trusting God. It caught Timothy's spiritual attention. in such a way that he wanted to have that same foundation of trust for himself as they had with Jesus, his grandma, and his mom. And then I love it that Paul said, you know what, Timothy, I believe that is in you also. I'm persuaded it is in you. I love the way Paul now is going to share with Timothy what his mothers and grandmothers had brought into his life because of trusting in God and the foundation of the home that he was raised in. They brought the foundation of trust, a trust in God. Now what he's going to say to Timothy, Timothy, you need to understand, you got a responsibility now to live in a way. So this is what he's saying to him. Guard what was committed to your trust, Timothy. Keep safe what has been entrusted to your care. Avoid just profane talk and foolish arguments of what some people call knowledge. For some have claimed to possess this knowledge, and as a result, they've lost their way of faith. God's grace be with you, Timothy. God's grace be with you. You know what that made me think of? Blessed is the house that's built on Jesus Christ as a foundation. We need that. We definitely need that in our lives. We need that to be a part of our life, that this foundation is secure. I want to just do one more thought before we listen to a song. And this thought that I want to share with you now is the idea, in this house, there's many rooms. The early part of the building of a house work seems to take so long. You know, when I was putting this message together, I remembered when we added on a new auditorium onto the little building that we had there at Shiloh a long, long time ago. And, you know, we started building an auditorium, and it holds that auditorium the way we did it at first, held about 400. And, you know, there's all kinds of rooms down in the basement. Basement is under the whole thing. And there was many individual rooms. We laid hundreds of blocks. And we worked probably a good 3 months just on the basement. And then all of a sudden, we was ready to come above ground. I thought, we're never going to see anything. It's all down below the ground. But when we begin to see that, then it begins to be something very special. You know, sometimes for a mama, I believe it's been such a struggle just laying the foundation. I love that the Bible gives us many different stories of different people in the Bible and different moms. I want to think this morning, before we listen to another song, the mother of Moses. I think of her as being a promoter of hope. She had hope. There was a man from the family of Levi. He married a woman who was also from the family of Levi. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw how wonderful the baby was, and she hid him for 3 months because there had been a decree gone out from the Herod, from the king, that the boy babies had to be put to death. But after 3 months, she was not able to hide the baby any longer. She got a basket, and she made a basket very special, made it so it would float, made it so it was waterproof. She put the baby in the basket. Then she put the basket among the tall grass at the edge of the Nile River. The baby's sister stood there a short distance away. She wanted to see what would happen to him. Then the daughter of the king of Egypt came to the river. She's going to take a bath. Her servant girls were walking beside her in the river. She saw the basket in the tall grass, so she sent her servant girls to get it. The king's daughter opened the basket and saw the baby boy. I think he started to cry. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. She said, "This is one of the Hebrews' babies." Then the baby's sister came forward, and the baby's sister asked the king's daughter, "Would you like me to find some Hebrew woman to nurse the baby for you?" The king's daughter said, "Yes, please do so." So the girl went and got the baby's own mother. The king's daughter said to the woman, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you for doing that. And after the child grew older, the mother took the baby to the king's daughter. What a beautiful story. You think that could never happen. Mama's going to have that baby for a short period of time. She hid him for 3 months. Then she was going to be paid. That mama was going to be paid to breastfeed the baby. And in those days, they breastfed the baby from 2 to 4 years. Then she took him, Moses, to the king's daughter. Moses' name was given to him from the king's daughter. Said, I drew him out of the water. That's what his name meant. And you know something? I believe God was working in that dear mother's life to do what I said in a moment ago. She was a promoter of hope. She wasn't going to kill that baby, even though that was the king's decree. You know, later on in the book of Hebrews, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. And you know what God's doing? He's sparing Moses' life because Moses is going to become the one that's going to lead the people out of the land of captivity into the promised land. You know what this hope comes from, folks? Now, faith is a confidence we have, in which we have hope for an assurance about what we do not see, and yet it's going to happen. And that's what that mama did. I thank God for those things that mothers have done in days gone by to show that kind of hope and to be a part of that hope within the family. I got a song now that we're going to listen to, and this song is entitled Household of Hope. And this household of hope is going to give us that encouragement to be a part of our individual lives, that we might live the way God would have us to live. And to be so thankful and grateful for our moms. I've got to tell you, folks, I know that my mom was a promoter of hope in our childhood. And I think that's so special. Let's listen in.
At the start, committing to each other by His word and from our hearts. We will be a family in a house that will be a home, and with faith we'll build it strong. We'll build a household of faith that together we can make. And when the strong winds blow, it won't fall down. As one in Him will grow, and the whole world will know. We are a household of faith.
How to be a family. We've got to love each other at any cost, unselfishly. And our home must be a place that fully abounds with grace, a reflection of His face.
We'll build a household of faith that together we can make. And when the strong winds blow, it won't fall down. As one in Him will grow, and the whole world will know. We are a household of faith. We'll build a household of faith that together we can make. And when the strong winds blow, it won't fall down. As one in Him will grow, and the
are a household of faith. I think that's so important for us to get a hold of in this day and age that we're a part of, that we need to be a household of faith. You know, when I was thinking about that, I went back to the book of Deuteronomy. There's a time in the Old Testament when God was talking about this idea of life, this idea of faith. And you know, I love the way God shared this with those families at that period of time. And I kind of like to think that that's one of the rooms or the part of the foundation of your family and my family, is the idea that we'll call this, it's an opportunity to choose. To choose to be a household of faith. To choose to try to raise your children with the idea of faith. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 15 through 20, God says, "See, I have set before you today life and good, and death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you're about to enter in to possess it. But listen now, there's a but. But if your hearts turn away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away by the worship of others' gods, and you serve them, I declare to you today," God says, "that you will surely perish. Your house will not stand. You shall not live long in the land as you're going over the Jordan to enter in and possess." He's going on to say, "I want you to know, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Those who choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land of the Lord forever, which God has promised you." I love the description of his offer. "I've set before you so you can make a wide choice between life and prosperity, or death and destruction. I want you to choose. I want you to choose," he's saying, "to have a part of your life be with the idea of the Christian home, where you learn that God loves you and where you learn that you are to love God." Sounds so simple, doesn't it? But it's been left out of so many homes today, the idea of God and loving God, and that God loves us, and that God wants us to walk in the ways that would please him. You know, we have to make so many choices in our lifetime. At Shiloh Church this last week, they was talking about the choices we make. I close a 9 o'clock service at Shiloh, and when I got up to close the service, I shared this thought, which I want you to think with me for a few moments. I shared the thought when I was younger, a teenager. I used to think, man, teenagers have so many decisions to make. There's so many things we have to choose. And it's hard to figure out what choices to make. Then, you know, I said I got married, and I thought, man, married people have so many decisions to make. Then we started having children. I think, man, there's so many decisions to make when you got children. Then as they grew and the nest became empty, man, there's a lot of decisions to make when the children are gone. And then when I got close to retirement age, I'm thinking, man, when you're thinking about retiring, there's so many decisions to make, so many choices to make. And you know, now that I've been retired for 10 years and I'm 84, can I say this to you this morning? Old people have so many decisions to make. At 84, I have so many decisions to make as an individual. You know, I believe God is trying to teach us that I think how we make the decisions, I think the pattern sometimes is set when we're in the home. As we watch our mamas make decisions that they make, and decisions that sometimes we don't even recognize at the time that those decisions are there. But sometime later we look back and think, you know what? The pattern for my decision making was started by my mother and what she showed us about God's way. I believe in the Bible. You can see the God's way, and I trust you would choose God's way. I think we can see God's choices for us, and we need to know those choices. But when I think of my mom, I think of some of the things that she taught me just by the choices that she made. You know, one of the things that we did, because there were so many of us in the family, is my mom did a lot of canning. We canned a lot of tomatoes. We canned a lot of pickles, corn and beans. I remember one time she took us into this room where all the canned goods were stored. And I wish I would have recognized. I was too young to recognize. But she showed us all the goods that we had canned up for the winter. And I don't believe I've ever seen a prouder look on my mom's face that she was ready for the winter. That's what the book of Proverbs said. She has this great delight because she's ready for the winter. And you know what? Us kids left that go unnoticed. We're thinking, well, that's a lot of goods. But you know what? It lasted us all winter. And that's something very special that was a part of that memory that you have of the choices. She chose to make sure that we was going to have food for the winter. And she did what the book of Proverbs said. She was wise in doing that. And we need to make sure that we're wise in those things as well, because it's something that is very beneficial. I want to move on to this thought now, that because there's so many different ones, and I want to take a man this morning to share us a thought about the home that he shares with. His name is Joshua. He became the leader after Moses died. And you know, Joshua was a good man, and he was a good leader. But God had asked him what he's supposed to do and how he's supposed to be. And one day Joshua said this to the people: "If it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, rather to the gods of your father that you served in the regions beyond the river, or the gods of the Ammonites, the countries we're now going to, in whose land you will dwell." Then I like what he said here. And it's so just so good to have this in our hearts and minds. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Dear people, every home should come to that point. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I think that's what God wants us to understand. That we understand that God is saying to us, "I want you to serve the Lord." I found three P's the other day that I really like when it talks about serving the Lord. If you're going to do some service for the Lord, let it be personal, just coming from your heart. Let it be positive. Don't be a destructive person. And let it be public. It's not just yours. You're sharing with others. I think that that's a good way for us to think about serving the Lord. Apostle Paul one day said that. He said, "You know, I just feel so grateful that God has chosen me to be a minister. That God chose me." And he said, "I had no reason that God should choose me. And when I reflect upon my life, I'm just so pleased that God chose me to be a minister." But you know what I want to share with you on this Mother's Day? "I'm also so pleased that my mother was 110% for me being a minister. I never doubted the fact that she was just so pleased as well that God had chosen me to do that kind of thing. And you know, when it's thinking about serving, I think about mothers as they serve. There's so many things that they do. I think about the Lord Jesus as he came, and he said he came not to be waited on, but to wait on others. When I think about our moms, how they waited on us, how they tried their very best to care for us in whatever method they had. You know something? God is saying, that's what I want you to do. I want you to realize that I want you to be a servant, that your life is going to reach out to others. And my mom's life sure taught me that, to reach out to others. I think of my mom being a single parent raised in a big family. Then I think of Bev and I raising the family as husband and wife. It's so good to know that God has given us teachings in his book to help us as we raise our children. And I love the idea that God is reminding us that as we do this raising of our children, one of the things we can do is help them to understand that a part of their ministry, a part of their life, is to serve others and to serve God. Matter of fact, I love it the way the scripture teaches, and I've always tried to teach that to our children. When you're serving others, do it in such a way that you're really serving God. That's what it needs to be. A memory popped in my mind as I was preparing this devotion and this sermon for today was the idea that when Kendall was very little, he was only about 5 or 6 years old, and I had met my biological dad when I was 18 and a half or so, almost 19. Then when we got married, I was trying to build a relationship with him, and he was trying to build a relationship with us. And we'd go to Ohio and help him with a project, and he'd come to Michigan and he'd help me with the project. And one of the times we was in Ohio, and we was working, doing some things at my biological dad's house. And that evening I said to Kendall, let's wash Grandpa's car. It just goes a little bit dirty, not real serious. Just wash Grandpa's car. And so we washed the car in the middle of the afternoon. And that evening we were sitting on the porch. And all of a sudden, Kendall came over and sat by me, and he said, Dad, how much would it cost Grandpa if he took his car downtown to get it washed? And I knew what he was saying. Shouldn't we get some money out of this? And I remember saying to Kendall, you know what? Sometimes we just do things to help people out because we love them, because we want to serve. And God wants us to do that every now and then as well. I think that's so good to be a part of our life. As I wrap up, would you just allow me to do some special things that I want to do for my mom? Because I appreciate my mom so much. I got special memories that I have in my mind and heart of times that we shared together. And you know, it's the idea of when it comes to this period of time, now that she's gone, then what happens in the home is all those growing up years, you're remembering things when they're gone that were very special. My mom was a very hard worker, and I'm so glad she taught me the work ethic that I have today. And it carried over into the ministry as being a special part of that as well. And I think that's so special that I can have that. I remember how my mom taught us kids when we were picking potatoes and when we were topping onions. That was a lot of hard work, and she's right there with us. Sometimes us kids want to only fill the bushel to this level, and she'd teach us, no, you got to heap it up. Got to give them more than just a bushel. And you know what? That became a part of my life. One of the things that I loved the most is that Mom said, all of us boys were going to learn how to cook as well as the girls. And you know, right now, that's been such a big part of my life. I love the idea of cooking, so as I go on my way, I got to tell you folks, this song that we're going to listen to is a song that's reminding us of something that is really true, that when this is all said and done, when this is all over, you know what you're going to do? You're going to miss this. You're going to miss this time. You're going to miss this time of being a family. with your children. Let's listen in. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day to all the mamas. God bless you. Bye-bye.
She was staring out the window of that SUV, complaining, saying, I can't wait to turn 18. She said, I'll make my own money and I'll make my own rules. Mama put the car in park out there in front of the school. Then she kissed her hand and said, I was just like you. You're gonna miss this. You're gonna want this back. You're gonna wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times, so take a good look around. You may not know it now, but you're gonna miss this. Before she knows it, she's a brand new bride in a one-bedroom apartment, and her daddy stops by. He tells her it's a nice place. She says, it'll do for now. Starts talking about babies and buying a house. Daddy shakes his head and says, baby, just slow down. You're gonna miss this. You're gonna want this back. You're gonna wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times, so take a good look around. You may not know it now, you're gonna miss this. 5 years later, there's a plumber working on the water heater. Dogs barking, phones ringing, one kid's crying, one kid's screaming. And she keeps apologizing, and he says, they don't bother me. I've got two babies of my own. One's 36, one's 23.
It's hard to believe.
You're gonna miss this. You're gonna want this back. You're gonna wish these days
hadn't gone by so fast.
These are some good times.